Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you prescribing hope for healthy families. And listen, we have got a breath of fresh air for you today. We have got an encouraging prescription for hope today. We're going to talk about cultivating a life of joy. I think this is so important and something that is missing in families today, because we are living at the speed of a smartphone. We are running the rat race. We are trying to do all of the things that we need to do just to get food on the table, to keep a roof over our heads, to keep our kids going wherever they need to be, or even as grandparents, going to where the kids and grandkids are. And we're just running in a hurry. And we're living in a culture that is saturated by an undercurrent of fear and anxiety and worry. And kids are seeing this all the time. They're seeing an undercurrent of things that are very serious going on in the world. And I think kids need a lot more joy in their life. And you know what? Adults do too. This is one of my favorite things about being a pediatric nurse, is that I feel a little free just to jump in there to play with the kids. And I feel like I have that excuse. But the truth is, we shouldn't need an excuse to experience joy. And my guest today is going to help us do just that. So if you are coming in feeling a little discouraged, feeling a little anxious, don't go anywhere. This is the show for you. I have none other than Miss L. Cardell, and yes, it rhymes, as it says in her bio. L is first and foremost a sinner saved by grace. She lives in Middle Tennessee with her college sweetheart. Isn't that so sweet? Michael, and their two lovely children. She loves being a mama, nerding out over strategy board games. That's me too. Catching up over coffee with friends, making meals from scratch, writing on the truths of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. She does so much else that I'm going to share with you. But right now, we're going to talk about her book, She Delights, Cultivate a Life of Joy for the One Who Reigns and Sustains. So, L. Cardell, we're so glad to have you. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Well, it sounds like you can relate to so many women out there and so many families out there, because you say, as Christian women, we've been given this beautiful charge to delight ourselves in the Lord, right? Delight ourselves in God, delight ourselves in His Word. But that is so much easier said than done. So I want to start, Elle, tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey with the Lord that brought you to deliver this message to us today.
Oh, I love that so much. I'm so excited to talk to you about this. I don't even know where to start. I have such a story. Let's go back to my early college years. I was actually studying to be a nurse. I wanted to work in pediatric oncology, but the Lord did this wonderful but also difficult 180 in my heart that led me to discover I wanted to pursue healing for children, just not down the path of physical healing. It would be spiritual healing. And so I became a theology major. I minored in children's ministry. And while I was sitting in class one day, listening to my professor, I had this moment of revelation. And all of a sudden, my professor sounded like the teacher from Charlie Brown. And I had this divine moment with the Lord that I was meant to also embark on a journey of women's ministry. And ultimately, that is what led to Daughter of Delight, which is the global online women's ministry that God has entrusted to me over the last 12 years now. So much beauty has unfolded from that. And that includes my book that is soon to come out in April, She Delights. And this book is such a powerful invitation for the reader, for the writer. This was such an invitation over and over and over again for me as I was putting it together, to find their joy in whose they are, no matter where it is in life that they might be, whether you're high on the mountaintop or you're low in the valley, somewhere in between even. This book is an encouragement and a reiteration of the truth that God is near and worth delighting in every step of the way.
What is the significance of the word delight? We keep talking about delight. That's the name of your ministry, Daughter of Delight, and then the name, of course, of your book. And we talk about that. You know, I think about how often we may use that word just in casual conversation, like, oh, I'm delighted to do that. We think about that. But what is it? What does it really mean? I feel like you took a different journey and you have some insight into just the complexities of this simple word.
Yeah, that's a great question. This is actually this Psalm 37:4. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." This was such a pivotal moment in my relationship with the Lord, and it coming to recognize the importance of knowing how to study Scripture. When I initially came across this verse, I took it right at surface level. It felt really good to do that too, because to me, I read it as, you know, as long as I put in the work and I please the Lord, I would be good to go. And because of that, God would turn around and reward me with the desires of my heart, you know, the worldly treasures that I wanted because I was, quote unquote, a good girl. And nothing good came from this understanding. In fact, it was only this guilt-induced and pressure-filled relationship with God that I held on to for a really long time. But then, I had this powerful removing of the scales type of moment with the Lord, and I learned just how much more there was to God's word. And so I began to understand what Psalm 37:4 really meant. I discovered that delight is more than a feeling. It is, it's to enjoy a life of worship. It's to abide or remain in the Lord, to rejoice and to dwell in His word and in His ways, in His will, in such a way that the desires of my heart would come to align with and hunger for God's desires for me. Choosing to delight in the Lord is to trust that God's plan is perfect and that He is faithful to supply us with our every need that He deems fit in this life.
I love this so much, Elle, because this is a verse, Psalm 37:4, as you mentioned, that I found in my early 20s when I was going through some really challenging family situations and just a lot of really tough stuff in my life. And I found that and I thought exactly like you, oh, okay, here's a simple if then, like if I delight myself in the Lord, then God will answer up my prayers about all of these situations.
Right.
But it really is like a plot twist, because as you delight yourself in the Lord, you say, said it so beautifully, Elle. I just wrote it down as you said it, that our desires start to align with God's plan for our life. And you recognize and trust that God's plan is perfect. And all of a sudden, the things that you thought you wanted so badly, you don't want anymore. God gives you different desires. And that is just, that was very transformational for me. It sounds like it was for you too.
Yes, our hearts are just compelled for heavenly treasures, not worldly treasures. And that's such an amazing thing to be able to distinguish between the two.
It is, you know, and I think at that time, what I wanted more than anything was relationship restoration. I wanted to be restored. I had a troubled relationship with my mom, especially. I wanted that. But, you know, I look back and I see with distance that God gave me the space that I needed to heal, to learn new patterns of behavior, to get stronger. And, you know, those kinds of things, I can look back and I can be grateful for that. But it was not what I thought was coming at all. And, you know, one of the beautiful things about your ministry, is that we are not alone. You and I are not alone in this. There are lots of women who are in this online community. So how does She Delight, how has that grown from your ministry, Daughter of Delight?
Oh my goodness. That is, I love that question. When I was sitting with the Lord and putting together, trying to figure out what the heart of this ministry would be, you know, it took some time to figure it out, because initially, I was just struggling to do it. I didn't want to do this because I felt so ill-equipped and like there was someone else that was so much more prepared and excited about pursuing something like an online women's ministry. But, and you know, the Lord knew that I needed that time to prepare my heart. But when I had that all-in moment and I went for it, I just was amazed at how things would come to unfold. So for the first 87 days or so, it was just me and the Lord. And I had this moment during that time where I recognized his model for this ministry, and it would be to invite women in from all walks of their faith, from all over the world, to help bridge this gap between surface level devotionals that we can so easily find today in modern Christianity, and really just infiltrate them with the truths of God's word. How do we have this beautiful balance of sharing our story and encouraging women to delight in their own walk with the Lord, but also bringing in some sometimes hard to embrace truths that scripture offers us. And so it has been really, really awesome to not only have a team of women to encourage the other women that make up my community to find their joy in the Lord, but also for me to have this opportunity to lead a team of women a couple times a year out of the year and encourage them to also find their joy in the Lord and in their writing adventures with him. Something that I try to bring to the center of my ministry is Zephaniah 3:17. It says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." Now, I think this offers such a beautiful picture of God's delight because it reveals his tenderness and his faithfulness, especially in the face of past discipline toward his people. If you were to take the time to study this verse, you would come to discover that it's just this reiteration of the truth that we do not belong to a distant God, but a near God, a God who actively rejoices over us. He loves us and he cares for his people. And being part of Daughter of Delight in such an important way has been such a cool reminder to me that just as, you know, a loving parent would find joy in their child, God finds joy in his people. And his delight is not something that is dependent on our performance or our perfection, but on his perfect love for us. I feel like I could answer that question in a thousand different directions, and I probably just did, but I just had to share that.
I'm so glad you did. You're pulling out all the great verses. Zephaniah 3:17 is such a good one, and I'm so glad that you did that, because when we think about, you know, even when you're talking about Psalm 37:4, you kind of think, okay, well, does God love me? Yes, he does. He delights over you with singing. You said he exults with loud singing is the version that you have, and to think of God himself singing over us is just absolutely amazing. And you talked about some hard truths. And you know what, Elle? I think in some ways, that is a really hard truth for especially some women to accept, because we think, okay, am I really worthy of the love of the God of the universe? But I think you're giving back that answer, Elle, an emphatic yes. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, and I would add to that, because of Christ alone, right? We have this thing called imputed righteousness, which means because of his work and that accomplishment on the cross, we get to be clothed in that same righteousness, and God delights in us as his redeemed children. And that I will never be able to fully grasp the depths of that reality. And I just know that I'm so thankful for it. I'm so thankful that he looks at us and he calls us his.
Well, you know, Elle, joy just bubbles over in your personality, in your soul. It is just encouraging me, and I know it's encouraging the listeners. And when we come back, I have so many more questions. I have so much more to talk to you about. And we'll start with you, the statement that you wrote, that nothing and no one satisfies like our good and gracious God. And you know, Elle, this is something I see all the time, because I'll have people come to me for advice. They may look at my credentials, my education, my experience, and they want the secret. You know, they want to know, what is it? What do I have to do? What is that relationship hack? What is that communication thing that I need to have? What is the self-help book that I need to buy? And I agree with you, and really, really want to dive into that nothing and no one satisfies like our good and gracious God. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing 52 Habits for Healthy Parents. Those are for healthy families. Those are habits that we cultivate every week that help us to understand that truth. And the first one is pray. The second one is reading your Bible. Nothing really substitutes for those foundational truths. Now listen, you can get a copy of this book. You can pre-order it. She's a Lights, Cultivate a Life of Joy for the One Who Reigns and Sustains by Elle Cardell. You can learn what God's delight in you actually looks like and discover what it realistically looks like to have a heart of delight for God, and explore how God's God's delight in you inspires and guides and transforms your delight in Him. We'll have more with Elle Cardell when we come back. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives. We have to save them. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry by rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day. They are putting a serious dent into abortion, but there are still thousands of babies who die daily. And Preborn's goal is to rescue them all. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all of these precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire Preborn network for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. Please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Welcome back, friends. That's I've Witnessed It by Melody Malone. You're listening to a song that is definitely in the top 10 of my playlist right now. And looking at my own personal testimony and where God has brought me, I know that I have witnessed that God's promises never fail through the ups and the downs and the hills and the valleys and the trials and the temptations and the traumas and all of it. God has been there. And we're talking about that very message today, not only has He been there, but He delights in you. He exults over you with loud singing. We're talking to Elle Cardell, the author of the new book, She Delights, Cultivate a Life of Joy for the One Who Reigns and Sustains. And that is our prescription for hope for you today. How do you cultivate a life of joy? If you are feeling discouraged, you're feeling like you're in a rut, you feel like things are never going to change, we have a path forward for you. And Elle is so qualified to give us that. She's got a bachelor's degree in biblical theology. She's the founder of the global online women's ministry, Daughter of Delight. This is a growing community of 170,000 plus women of faith. So you are not alone, friend, if you are seeking a God who loves you. And Elle is a firm believer that in order to truly know God, we must know His word. And she is deeply passionate about equipping everyday women of faith with the tools they need to be faithful stewards of Bible literacy. I endorse that wholeheartedly. There has been, I have found no greater words of hope or healing or wisdom for my parenting journey, for my professional journey, for my personal journey than those found in the Bible. And so let's start, Elle, where we left off. Nothing and no one satisfies like our good and gracious God. How have you lived this out in your life?
Oh man, how have I lived this out? Well, I'm not always good at it. By the grace of God, I am by the grace of God, I am able to do this. But, you know, this is something that has been the anthem of my heart. Just this, take the world, but give me Jesus, right? I think it's so important to just proclaim that over ourselves, take the world, but give me Jesus. And knowing what that means, recognizing that only God can fully satisfy the deepest longings of the human heart. I mean, the impact that alone can have is incredible. Because you know what? We can fill ourselves with all we want. We can fill it with relationships. We can fill our lives with work, material things. But all of these things will only ever fall short when it comes to satisfying the soul's deepest need. And I have learned this more often than I would like to admit. And I probably still have quite a ways to go with this truth. But when God brings me back to it, I'm reminded of verses like Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Or John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. True contentment and satisfaction, the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore, these things can only come from knowing God, and to believe anything otherwise, in my experience, would be foolish at best.
You know, Elle, scripture just rolls off your tongue. You're sharing so many beautiful scriptures. And I can tell you, immersing myself in God's word was one of the best investments that I ever made. And I started to find it just overflowing, just like you're modeling. And when you're talking to your kids and they're saying, but I want this, Mom, and why isn't this happening? And I can look in their precious little eyes and say, honey, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And just like you said, in your presence is fullness of joy. If you're not feeling joy, get in God's presence. That's actually my oldest daughter's life verse. She loves that verse and talks about that all the time. Why is it so important for us to be immersed in God's word? Because I know there are a lot of women, there are a lot of people listening who are not immersed in God's word and they're missing out. We just have to be honest. They're missing out.
Yes, that is. I mean, if we talked about one thing today, for me, it would be this question, because it's the most important thing. You know, the simple answer is that we cannot know God in the ways he desires to be known outside of his word. Now, I'm not saying that we can't experience God outside of his word, because I absolutely believe that we can and do. I know I do. But the knowledge and the precepts and the beautiful, life-giving, wondrous truths, the gospel story that God has invited us to feast our hearts on in order to intimately know him must not be neglected. And when it is, at least in my experience, this is what happens. You know, the temptation to base our understanding of who God is on our feelings really steps in to play here. And, you know, I would say that that is already a very strong temptation that I face on an everyday level. And I would, especially as women, you know, we are natural nurturers. I think it can be really easy to give in to this temptation. But when we do this without grounding ourselves in truth, without this really intimate relationship, this truth-filled relationship with the holy and sovereign God of the universe revealed in the infallible scriptures that he has gifted us, that he has entrusted to us in order to know him, well, this will keep us from truly knowing him. And you know what? That is such a dangerous thing that I think that we should all just be on guard of. Because when we remain rooted in the word, when we choose to armor up and obtain the tools and the truths needed in order to discern what is right and what is good and true versus so many of these sugar-coated and fluffy teachings that sadly fill a lot of the church today. You know, being able to have these tools is going to yield so much fruit in our lives when it comes to knowing and living out the truths of God's word as we are meant to.
You know, that you've used the word truth many, many times in your answer. And I think that's a word that we hear a lot in popular culture and society, on the news. We hear, you know, speaking truth, living truth. What's the truth? Search for truth. I mean, just insert any phrase. And I think that that is one of the things that is really driving a worldview crisis, especially among young people of faith, because they're getting all of these different interpretations about truth. But we know from God's word that Jesus said in the book of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And being to look at our families and say, you know what? In a world where there are shifting sands, in a world that something that's celebrated today is canceled tomorrow, in a world where truth is relative, those things are all, those are all shifting sands. And you can set your life and build your life on the solid foundation of the truth of the word of God that never, ever changes, even as, you know, people's interpretation may change, or we see ministers who fail, and that seems to be a common thing that we see, and that's discouraging to us. God's word never fails. How does that give you comfort, and how does that help you cultivate joy, Elle?
That's, yeah, I love that question. I like to call it truth with a capital T.
yes, that's
because
good.
Yeah, it's so paramount to it totally impacts everything that we do, right? And it should. It should always bring us back to the Lord. The Lord should be our foundation for everything. The rock won't move, and his word is strong, no matter what type of shifting sand it is we're looking at, because there will always be shifting sands. Nothing about the Lord will change, not one thing. And that, having that assurance, that even if it seems like the world is ending, or, you know, even if you're handed a piece of news that is just absolutely devastating, knowing that we have this promise of hope, this promise of going from this life to the next, that gives so much assurance, because it helps us to recognize that joy is not contingent on our circumstances, right? I think that it can be really easy to use happiness and joy interchangeably, but if we take a step back and view these two terms through a spiritual perspective, we'll see that happiness is contingent on our circumstances, but joy in Christ alone is all accessible. And that means that we can sit there in the midst of despair in this life and still experience joy. Both of those things can coexist. And I, you know, I came to really embrace this truth with my daughter, Sayla. She's three. But she had to undergo several open heart surgeries as a newborn to even have a fighting chance at life. And here she is 3 years later, a powerful testament to the Lord and what he is capable of doing. But she is a reminder to me every single day that joy is because of Christ alone. And because, you know, when we look at him, when we set our gaze on him, we can choose joy today, no matter what the day holds.
That's really powerful to hear you say, Elle, because, you know, parents all over, as parents are listening, their heart just squeezes thinking of your daughter's heart, you know, and having to have open heart surgery. That is something that puts fear in our own hearts and thinking about those kinds of circumstances. But I think there's something so inspiring by looking at the testimony of someone like you. It's like anyone who has been through really difficult circumstances, and they can still say, God is good. He walks with me. And knowing his presence and knowing his love and care, even when the circumstances don't seem like everything's going perfectly, that is so powerful, Elle. And one of the biggest things that keeps us away from the word of God is just simply, distractions. Just, we're distracted all the time, and they get in the way of our relationship. We're distracted by our phones, by our schedules, by all of those things. And I think our phones are one of the biggest distractions that we have. And people
I totally
will say,
agree.
I don't have 5 minutes. I'm like, did you watch Reels for 5 minutes today? Were you on an app for 5 minutes today? You can find 5 minutes for God's word. So how do we strip away those distractions that keep us away from all of this joy that you're talking about and walking in relationship with our Creator?
You are asking all the good questions today.
Well, give me all the good answers. I'm here for it.
I think the first part of this question comes down to recognizing that if we are coasting along with this belief that we are simply too busy for God, then we really are too busy and something's got to give, because no life should be so busy that the one who gave us this life gets left behind. And something that has been really helpful for me in my walk is taking the time to just pause and pray and just sit there before the Lord and prayerfully consider what it might be that is pulling my heart and my attention away from the Lord. Is it my iPhone or technology? Am I overcommitting myself? Am I giving in to worry or anxiety? You know, is it worldly entertainment? And, you know, these answers will probably change as you continue to come and ask the Lord what it might be in certain seasons. But once the root of whatever it is identified, the next step of this process is surrender, right? It's asking the Lord for the wisdom and the strength to set healthy boundaries, recognize what healthy boundaries in that season might be, so that he might be prioritized and magnified, not only in your everyday life, but within the walls of your home, or, you know, set before your family to see. Maybe it looks like swapping out this doom, I like to call it doom scrolling, because, you know, if you get onto Reels, they never end. So swap out this doom scrolling with something that needs to be done in the home. Maybe it's dishes. Turn on some worship music and do the dishes, or take a child to pray over while you're doing something or just sitting there. Maybe spend time in the Word. Or instead of worrying, why don't you write your prayers down and speak the truth of God's Word over your struggles? That is so powerful. Writing scriptures on post-it notes, putting it on your bathroom mirror, you know, just places that you frequent often, and your eyes are being set on that truth, you know, every time you enter that room or that space. Maybe use your daily commute or your time doing house chores to worship or listen to an audio Bible experience. Whatever it is, just make it a goal to continually align your heart with the Word and ask someone to hold you accountable. And also recognize, this has been pivotal for me in my walk, is recognizing that even when the motivation isn't there, I can still choose to show up. So will I? That has been just ground shaking for me in my walk with the Lord, is not basing it on how I feel, but recognizing the reality and the importance of showing up regardless. It's been so good, so fruitful.
You just gave us so much wisdom in that, and so much of what we know. But really, I pray that listeners would be convicted to do it. And this is something, you know, that I've struggled with in the past. And I actually, there are some things that I'm doing really well at. This is one of those. There's other things that I continue to struggle with. But I say this all the time, Elle, my iPhone gives me my little screen time summary every Sunday morning when I'm walking into church. It's like that phone will ding and it'll say, here's your report. And it's so convicting. I think that God has ordained that somehow. I don't know if everybody else gets that on Sunday morning, but I look at that and there's some days I look at my screen time and I think, my goodness, this was like a part-time job that I carried around with me this week. And one of the things that has really helped me is I am not a morning person, like not even by far. I would much rather stay up late at night. But getting up intentionally in the morning and having my daily Bible reading and devotional just for a few minutes in the morning, to me, it's felt like such a more intentional act of worship, because God knows me better than I know myself. And he knows he did not create me to be a morning person. But if I can get up and show him that devotion and have that, you know, not distracted yet when nobody else is up yet, and start my day that way, I have found that to be so transformational. Well, Elle, when we come back, we'll talk more about what you just said, that joy is not a feeling, you say, it's a supernatural presence of the heart and mind. And we'll give some advice to people who are struggling to make prayer a daily walk with God, and helping people remember the truth that God delights in us. The book is called She Delights, Cultivate a Life of Joy for the One Who Reigns and Sustains by Elle Cardell. And we'll be back with her after this break.
This Easter season, we're offering a special downloadable resource that will inspire you and deepen your faith. He Is Risen is a digital booklet featuring powerful articles from The Stand and AFA Journal that explore the life-changing truth of the resurrection, the significance of Easter, and how to share these foundational truths with others. For a limited time only, it's our gift to you for any donation of $5 or more. Help us continue to share biblical truth, defend Christian values, and equip our families. Visit afr.net/offers.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king. Except for hearts in
Welcome back, friends. That song is Gratitude by Brandon Lake, and I have gratitude in my heart today for Elle Cardell, the founder of the Daughter of Delight Ministry. And listen, she'd be the first one to tell you that a life of delight is possible, and there is joy to be found in delighting in God's ways over our own, even when things don't feel good, when things don't make sense. But the more you get to know God as He is revealed through the Bible, the more you will come to genuinely embrace and grow in your delight in the Lord. And Elle is a woman who lives on mission to help others learn and love Scripture. She has a Daughter of Delight podcast, daily devotionals, free biblical resources. You can find her at daughterofdelight.com. You can find her on Instagram. And she's talking with us today, really challenging us, Elle, and I am here for it. I am loving this. And we're talking about, you've talked a little bit about how joy and happiness are different. Happiness is a feeling based on your circumstance. Joy is not just a feeling. You call it the supernatural presence of the heart and mind. How do you cultivate that joy in your life and the women who have joined you in Daughter of Delight Ministry?
Oh, man, it is. I'm always learning and always growing. Something I spoke on just a little earlier in our conversation was recognizing the importance of helping to bridge this gap between really solid Bible-based devotionals and surface-level devotionals that can be so easy to find everywhere. And so how do we do that, and how do we do that well? How can I be a good steward of this? And something that the Lord has just been really kind to me in is having this opportunity every 3 months. I take on a team of 7 women through Daughter of Delight who are gifted in writing and love sharing on the truths of God's word. And they get to write a piece of encouragement one day out of the week for 12 weeks. And before those pieces get published, they come to me. And so I get to sit and I get to read through it, and I get to suggest different ways to, help blend the story aspect of the piece with the theology aspect of the piece. And I have just been really thankful to see how the Lord has grown me as a writer and how the Lord has grown the women who have served this community as a writer. I have women who have gone on to even write books after, having this experience and really growing in their love for writing on the truths of the gospel. It's not something that is to be taken lightly, and I try my best not to do that. And thankful for the ways that God's grace carries me through, because this is certainly a heavy responsibility. And I'm not even sure if this answers your question, but I just wanted to share that.
But it is. But you know what? The truth is, that is how you cultivate joy in your life. You have said it over and over during our conversation, Elle. It's all about diving into God's word, not just surface level, but really getting to know it. And through that, you get to know God's character. And when you see God's character, that He delights over you with singing, that you are chosen. And we read all of those things that God says about our identity. We're the apple of His eye. We're not forsaken. We're not abandoned. There's no longer orphans. I mean, just so many things. I get goosebumps, honestly, just saying those things that God says about us. That is how we can have joy, knowing that God loves us and that, you know, Jesus suffered in so many different ways. He identifies with that and he understands, he empathizes with us and he, you know, walks alongside us. I think that's so important. But the way that we've got to really bridge that gap there is prayer. Is once we learn about God, we read about God, we've got to actually talk to God. So what are some of the ways that you can encourage people who may think, yeah, I know I need to pray more, but you know, I'm envisioning this. I have a prayer bench in my house and I'm supposed to play music and, you know, sit with on my knees with my hands clasped and my head bowed and my eyes closed for 35 minutes and, you know, not get distracted. Yeah. How do you help people to make prayer more routine for them?
That's yet another wonderful question. If that is your desire, if you're listening to this and that's your desire, that is wonderful. But that doesn't have to be the way that prayer looks. James 4:8 tells us to draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And based on my experience, I have discovered that prayer isn't really about having the right thing to say or the perfect words. It's about showing up and communing with our Father in heaven. It's about surrendering what's on our heart to him, recognizing that he already knows these things, but embracing that he still desires to spend that time with us despite that, right? You know, the Lord wants more than the breadcrumbs of our day. He wants our whole hearts. And here's the thing, if we're pursuing a life of righteousness, chances are God is on our minds anyway. So let's talk to him. Prayer can be simple, and that's really freeing for me, because even in its simplicity, every prayer is purposeful. And the more you do it, the more natural it is going to become. You can pray the Lord's Prayer. You can pray your way through the Psalms. You can take the ACTS method, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Something for me in this season of motherhood especially that has been so helpful are breath prayers. So if I find myself in a moment of needing to discipline or needing more patience, I'll just stop, I'll take a quick breath, and I'll say, God, give me grace for this moment. Give me strength. Give me the words. Help me to honor you. Help me to love my child in the ways that you love me, in the things that are to follow after I say this prayer. Help me to bring you glory today. And something else that's been really, really fun, honestly, is attaching prayers to an existing habit. I touched on this just a tiny bit a little bit ago, but I do this a lot when I am rocking my six-month-old or I'm folding my three-year-old's laundry. Maybe for you, it's while you're making coffee or driving or doing the dishes or working out or showering. But, you know, just that, just knowing that when you do a certain task, there is prayer attached to that task, whether it's general prayer or prayer for one of your kids or yourself or your husband, that gives you something to look forward to while you're doing that task. That gives you an opportunity to find joy in the mundane, even.
I call that habit stacking, Elle, and it's so easy to do, and it is easy to make a habit. And so then as you're folding laundry, you're just praying for every person that you're folding that little article of clothing for. You're saying a prayer for them. It really can be easy to do if we're just intentional about it. And for me, Elle, you know, prayer has just become an ongoing conversation. I open my eyes in the morning and my prayer starts, and it doesn't stop until I go to sleep at night. And even then, I know the Holy Spirit intercedes for me, but it might look like this. And my children will pray out loud too. So when my children were young, I remember one day in particular where one of them started to pray out loud for me. And they said, "Dear God, help our mommy not to be so frustrated." And then I would pray back, "Dear God, help my kids not to be so frustrating." You know, and we're having this ongoing, just like exchange of prayers. And they would say, "Dear God, help our mother not to provoke us to wrath," even though they know that that's, you know, the father on there. It's a different take on that verse. And then I'd say, you know, "Dear God, help my children to obey their parents in the Lord." And we would just have these, you know, conversations just using scripture. But it is still a posture of, hey, we need God's help to get through this moment. And what I have found, Elle, is that saying those prayers out loud is much better than what I was saying before. Like, why did you kids make this big mess? And just expressing my frustration, but just going straight to God with it. God, help me to show patience. God, help me. And then I'm being transparent parent in front of them saying, mommy cannot do it on her own. I need God's help. And I think that's something that's really powerful to model to them. Well, Elle, I'm really excited because you also created a Bible study for this book. So how does that work together, and how would you encourage people to use the Bible study portion now that we've talked about the importance of diving into God's word?
We should absolutely touch on that because I'm so, so excited about the Bible study in it. So I refer to the Bible study as the disciplines of delight. So this is really where we start to peel back the layers and go deeper. So in the book, you're encouraged, and there's a blend of my story and theology and reflection questions, but you can get the study to just really dive deep and spend time in more and more of God's word. It's very scripture focused, and I'm so excited with how it came to be because there are five different focuses. Again, I call them the disciplines of delight. So pursuing sound doctrine, imitating Christ, hating what is evil, spreading the gospel, and walking in a manner worthy. And you can do this solo. You can do this with friends. I always love when I can find a Bible study that I can do either way. And so I really wanted to make sure that I also catered to that. But I would encourage you to do it with at least one other person because the benefits of doing it together, you know, you've got edification and accountability. You've got some probably really powerful and heartfelt conversation to come from your time together, encouragement, fellowship, and growth. But yes, the whole purpose of this study is to really emphasize and dive deep into what it looks like scripturally to live as a daughter of delight, to live as a daughter of the Most High King.
Well, Elle, I'm going to commit to you right here in front of all of these hundreds of thousands of listeners here and who are listening in on our conversation. I'm going to do this with my daughters this summer. I was looking for something to do with them, and I think this would be perfect because we are all daughters of the King, and they are my daughters.
Yes.
And I love them as my daughters. And I think doing something like this is such a great conversation. I can't tell you how many times we've gone and walked in the neighborhood. My daughters are college age. But we go and we walk in the neighborhood. And it's so funny because there was this one time we were walking and we were really in this deep theological conversation. And somebody was passing us walking their dog and they kind of looked at us like, whoa, that's a really deep conversation. And we thought, oh, is this not normal? Does not everybody talk about deep theological biblical truths when they're out on a walk? But we do. So, Elle, what key messages do you hope that readers will walk away with from your book?
There's two big ones. The first is that true joy comes from delighting in the Lord. And based on my experience, when you taste it, you're only going to want more of it. And again, because joy is from the Lord, it's an all accessible thing. We can choose to delight and have joy, and we should, no matter what this life holds for us. And the second truth is that the Lord delights in us more than we will ever delight in him. And that's not a bad thing. That's a very good thing. That is a freeing thing because you know what? It takes the weight off. It should take the weight off. And when we embrace this truth, it will only fuel our desire to delight in him, to know that we belong to a Father in heaven who first loved and delighted in us. I don't know about you, but there are simply no words that can convey what this does to my heart. And you know what? I've got a third one for you.
Okay, I'll take it.
The more that we delight in the Lord, the more we are going to bear his image to the world. And glory be to God.
Glory be to God on that. You know, as you're speaking, Elle, I think about 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And I think that when we feel loved by God, we are so much better able to love each other because we're not trying to fill that. Now I'm going to date myself as a Gen Xer here. I'm thinking of DC Talk and the God-shaped hole song, you know, but it's so true because so often we try to fill that with so many other things. We try to fill that with our identity as a mother or our children's accomplishments or whatever it might be. But I love that you speak that truth. We can only find true joy coming from delighting in the Lord. And some of the things that you do in this book is reflect on a life, how a life focused on delighting on God, it just looks different than a life that is centered on the world. And
yeah,
that is a good thing. Tell us one more time where we can find you, Elle.
You can find me at Daughter of Delight on Instagram or daughterofdelight.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, you can find me at L_Cardell on Instagram. And I'd love to connect with you.
That's ELLE_CARDEL, L Cardell. And I love that it rhymes. It's great. If you want to be equipped as an everyday woman of faith to steadfastly pursue God in every season, if you want to refute worldly self-gratification, if you want to find your joy in God, if you want to hear Elle's personal experience of her daughter's diagnosis and really learn how she cultivated a heart of delight for God, even and especially during those times of suffering, and if you want to draw closer to God by diving deeper into Scripture, rooting your identity in Christ, then this is the book for you. She delights cultivate a life of joy for the one who reigns and sustains. And listen, in today's day and age where we have pessimism and we have fear and we have anxiety, joy is really powerful. Joy is really beautiful. So cultivate a life of joy. You will not regret it. And as you're doing that, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And I can't wait to see you right back here tomorrow. Thanks so much for spending your afternoon with us. We love that you do that, and we'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.